Welcome to another Jukebox of Nonsense podcast featuring Liz, Sean, Chris, and Joe.
Welcome on into another Jukebox of Nonsense where we talk about a whole lot of nonsense. It's Chris Bachman, it's Sean Powers, it's Liz G, it's Joe Walters. If you enjoy listening to us at all on the air, well, you're going to hate it even more. I don't even know how to say it, but the four of us are getting together to talk about some random hodgepodge stuff. They're available wherever you get your podcasts, except for Apple. We are working on that story podcast for another day, but we're just getting together, having some fun conversation, not really anything, you know, concrete thought out. If there's something big that happens in the area, maybe we will actually have like a single topic one day, but kind of all bringing something to the table today, and I'm going to go straight to Joe Walters.
Okay.
You got a topic that you brought to the table today or anything like that? You can throw it back to me if you want to, but Scott, throw somebody under the bus, you know, when we get rolling here.
Okay. What is something that gets an unnecessary amount of hate? And I have my answer. You could have fun with it. I'm just going to play around with this one, but you could be serious with it. But mine is people who don't who say that pineapple doesn't belong on pizza.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
Thank you. Wait, so do you like pineapple on pizza?
And absolutely.
So all three of you like pineapple.
Yeah. You?
Are you?
I'm a 7-year-old, guys. I get my pizza with only cheese when I get
it. But you should like pineapple.
Well, I do like pineapple, and I get where people are coming from on, and so as a non-pineapple eater, somebody who's never even tried it, because I'm like a 7-year-old when it comes to food, I get both sides of the argument. As a big texture guy, I think the texture of pineapple would really throw me off with a piece of pizza. But I also think the juices soaking down, giving some extra flavor, could also, though the pineapple juices doesn't dry out a little bit and get into the pizza. I feel like that's what I've heard. I've heard people talking about it.
And that's so good.
So you've never had it, though.
So yeah, you've never had pineapple. So putting pineapple on pizza, you got to put it with ham. You got to put it with other things, onions.
Ham, and bacon.
Bacon, onions. I mean, you got to load it up. You know, if you're just doing pineapple, that's kind of boring. But, yeah, it belongs on pizza.
Guys,
we're
having a pizza party on me. I have a connection.
Yeah, well, I was going to say.
Just a little one.
We do have a legit expert on this topic here with Liz G, because you literally grew up with
eating
pizza.
Hawaiian pizzas my whole life. Well,
day in and day out, every single minute.
Well, and what is your, give a little plug here, your folks' place?
Yeah, my parents own G's Pizzeria in Kalkaska. We have a couple locations. There are like 9, if I'm not mistaken, all over Michigan.
And so at G's, when was the first time you made a pizza? Do you remember?
Oh, probably when I was 5.
All right. And did pineapple go directly on it? Was pineapple always been something
you do? Yeah, I probably just threw it on there. I was like, what's this?
All right, and so people coming into G's, sorry, I'm taking this away from you, Joe, because I think we got an expert here. When people come into G's, do people hate on the pineapple pizza? Or is that's just kind of something that gets done in social circles?
No, I think just in social circles. I will say, though, my friend who is Italian, she hates me. She goes, I can't believe you because you're Italian and you know that pineapple doesn't belong on pizza. And I said, well, it's a really Americanized thing. Like, you can't shame on me.
Exactly.
I do think you have something good there, Joe, because people are so one-sided about it. And it's never the pineapple people. It's the people who are against the pineapple on the pizza. And like I said, I'm somebody that I haven't tried it. I don't think I would like it as a big texture guy. However, I'm not going to all out bash on it and hate on it.
Pineapple is so different when it's cooked. Not so different, but it's just, it is a different texture when it's cooked.
Scares me even more then.
I feel like you wouldn't hate it as much.
And you know, Joe, when you brought that up, what's something that gets way too much hate? The first thing that came to my mind, I hate to go back to this, was playoff run, Taylor Swift, and just much hate out there. And we'll end it right here. We won't go any further. But in the political world, no matter what side you're on, there is way too much hate going towards the other side. I think that's something we could kind of all just kind of nod our head and agree on and kind of just move on from it right there. But I think when you brought that up, the first two things that I came from is, well, look at what we've got going on right now in the big political scheme of things. Yeah. It's hate, 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 hate. And then I thought of Taylor Swift, and I don't get why people hated on Taylor Swift for having an NFL boyfriend. It wasn't her fault they kept showing her on TV. Sean, what about you?
I'd probably say social media. You know, people hate, you know, no matter what you say on social media, you're going to tick somebody off. And it's like, you know, your whole demeanor on Facebook like mine is. It used to be like, yeah, I want to get on there. I want to get people to get involved in conversation. I want them to talk and, you know, bring their own thoughts and ideas to this topic or whatever I was talking about. But as time goes on, I look back and I go, you know what? I don't even care anymore because, you know, it doesn't matter what you say or what anybody does. You're always going to get somebody on the opposite side, just like with the politics stuff. Somebody on the opposite side is always going to poo-poo or, you know, throw the wrench in the works or, you know, put their 2 cents worth in and ruin it for, you know, the people who are trying to do innocent, fun posts. Mm-hmm. We do it in the morning show all the time. We, you know, we get people that, you know, not as much now, but before it was like we get people that would hate us. You know, and they'd be like, I can't stand you. I can't believe you guys are talking about this topic. You know, the one was the pool that was going to go in here. You know, we brought that topic up. Oh, you can't talk about it. Well, why not? It's not voodoo. You know what I mean? It's just a regular topic. You know, what do you think of this?
Mm-hmm. We can talk about voodoo. I'm cool with it.
that's leading into your topic over here. But, you know, that's my whole take on it, at least.
Liz?
Anybody?
I think, I'll keep it really simple. I think tattoos get a lot of unnecessary hate. People with tattoos, whatever, especially face tattoos, which I'm not opposed for. I don't have any, but, like, I'm not opposed later in life. I just feel like it's definitely becoming more acceptable in society, but like some older generations still really hate tattoos.
My sister has, you know, quite a few tattoos, and she for a number of years was going to, you know, become a pastor and stuff like that. And I think that was something that some very, very conservative, you know what I mean, conservative people in the particular branch that she was in New York, which one of those another podcast for another day type of thing that we could get into. But I just remembered like kind of like laughing about it because if they knew my sister at all and what those tattoos mean to her, you know, a lot of it has to do with that kind of stuff. I think tattoos is it pineapple on pizza are a couple really, really good ones there. But tattoos is something I feel like is becoming more mainstream, more acceptable, whereas pineapple on pizza is just still a super hot topic. That it, you know, it's one side.
And I don't,
or the
I
other.
Don't get that either. You know, it's
an
stupid
odd thing. Yeah,
it's not a big deal, but people make it. You know, they turn something that's nothing into superficial, and then you know, then it goes around the internet, it goes around the world, and everybody picks up on it. And it's a hot topic for like 6 months, and it's like, why? It's stupid. Pineapple does belong on pizza. End of story.
Mm-hmm. I have one tattoo. Sean, you got any tattoos?
I don't have any tattoos. And, you know, and it's not that I'm opposed to getting them at all. I just haven't found one that I, you know, I haven't found my niche yet of what I want to get, you know?
I don't have any, and this is a call out to my sisters. We need to get them done because for the last, like, 10 years, we've been meaning to get, like, sibling tattoos.
That'd be sweet,
yeah.
Hasn't happened.
How many do you have, Liz?
I have a few. I don't keep track. If I'm being told, I can count them really quickly.
All right.
7, 9, 12.
There's one on the back. There's 13. 5, 6, 7.
She's pointing to her body. 8, 9. Behind my ear.
The three of us.
10. I think I have 10. All right.
Well, it's funny that you said that. Like, I think the three of us kind of looked at each other just because between the three of us, we've got one. You know, we obviously remember it. But for you, you're somebody, too, who you enjoy getting a tattoo, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and that's
Except for my ribs. That was really painful.
And actually, the one tattoo that I got was on my ribs or whatever.
Oh, my gosh, you told me about that.
Yeah, and I did not. And it was I wanted to get a big one on my back is kind of what I thought maybe someday. And this was the test one. And I found out, I can't really. I just get queasy in that kind of stuff. And so I could do it, but the feeling that I got while getting my tattoo is just not a feeling I like to have, and so I don't know if I'm going to get myself another one or not.
It's fair.
That's
fair.
Encouraging.
But
that's
they
encouraging.
Have numbing cream now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
So. How well it works, I don't know. I've never used it.
For me, I feel, and I am somebody who I cannot watch a movie with a hospital scene in it. I can watch Saving Private Ryan, but if there's somebody having a surgery in a movie, I can actually go like white, queasy and get all hot and sweaty.
No Grey's Anatomy for you.
No. And so that's the same type of feeling that I got during my tattoo, and it was just like, man, I do enjoy having a tattoo. It means a lot to me, but I just don't think I'm going to go through that experience again.
Listen, I get it. That's how I felt, because my first biggest piece was on my ribs, and I also have my spine tattooed, and my ribs were more painful than my spine. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to get any more.
Funny as it is, when it was really painful, I almost like when it wasn't painful, when it was in a fatty part of my moob or whatever, it was kind of like my brain's telling myself, hey, somebody's cutting into you and it's not right. When it was pain, it was like, fight the pain. And so it was such a weird experience, but it was a different type of experience, and I almost would encourage everybody to try and get a tattoo to see how it makes you feel, because it's a different type of thing. All right.
I'm for that.
What gets too much hate? That was a really good one right
there,
Joe,
I
think.
Really good, yeah.
Who are we moving on to here? Liz, Sean, or you want me to go?
I could jump in real quick because mine won't take long. Liz and I were talking about this the other day. We were going to talk about this on the morning show at some point. But, you know, waking up late in the morning, getting here, you know, 2 minutes to six, a minute till six, and Liz
That's
is over there.
That's not me.
No, listen, and Liz is over there freaking out because I'm not here yet, right?
Boy, ears rolling in at 10, 12 some days.
We'll wait till you start doing mornings next week, Chris. We'll talk about that later in the meeting with Bob. No, but, you know, it comes back to the showering at night or showering in the morning.
All right,
and, this is a great question.
And for me, it's always I have to shower. If I shower at night, I still have to shower in the morning because it wakes me up.
Yep.
You know, and I don't take the hot. I'll take a warm shower or hot shower at night if I'm cold, and then that relaxes me to go to bed or whatever. But then in the morning time, when I'm up, I'm like, I can't have a warm shower because it'll put me to sleep. So I got to have a cooler shower to get me motivated, get my eyes open, and get me moving. So that's why it's even in the wintertime.
I prefer is the question like, do you do the morning or night?
Yeah. What would you prefer?
Okay.
Let's say I'm a morning shower guy, just like you, Sean. Yeah. If I took a shower right before I went to bed, I'm still going to take one when I get up out of bed. I guess if it's a Saturday or Sunday, I might be a little lazy or something like that. But if I'm coming into work, I shower right before I come into work, kind of wake myself up. I don't go with the cold shower, though. In the summers, though, something I learned from my buddy Jim Martinez, though, after the hot shower, you keep getting it colder and colder. So when you get out, you don't get all sweaty from the humidity.
Yeah. And your skin doesn't
dry
out.
You bring it down a notch at a time so you know you don't jam yourself with the...
My shower naturally does that because I just stay in there long enough.
Just throw that hot water.
You might need to... might be a story about a new hot water heater might be in your, in the workings more than anything else. But yeah, I'm definitely a morning shower guy. And like I said, Liz, for girls, I feel like it can be a little bit different. You'd shower in the morning or night. Did that change when you started doing the morning show?
It depends what you have to do. Right? Because, like, women don't wash their hair every day.
Right.
I'm not going to speak for all women, but I don't. But I'm definitely a nighttime shower person right before bed. I want to go into clean sheets, and then I want to wake up and just be clean and,
ready to go?
Yeah.
You're not a hot, sweaty guy.
Also, if I have to...
wake up some mornings like,
man, what happened here?
Let's go running in the middle of the night.
No, I'm like a burrito at night, and I do not move. But no, and then in the morning, I'm like, man, if I have to shower, wash my hair, and then get ready and like get dressed, pick out my outfit, and do my makeup...
It takes time. You can sleep later, too. So, I mean, I understand that point of view, too. Yep. You know, I don't have to get up at 4 o'clock to do all this stuff. I can get up at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened a couple times. Yeah. I ain't going to lie.
Hey, I've been here in the morning by myself. I know what it's like to roll in at 5:58, Sean. And as long as you're here helping people get up in the morning and make the best of their day, I think you're doing your job, and it's a good thing Liz is here to make sure somebody's
at 6 o'clock. See, before Liz was here, I didn't have anybody, so I had to be here.
Well, one time he called me at 6 o'clock, and he goes, I just woke up, and I was like, all right, I'll start the show, I guess.
And she's freaking out because, the whole panic thing goes into mode there with her. She's like, but I got this.
If that ever happens again, you go on the air with a stopwatch, and the first thing you say is, we are starting the Sean Powers watch clock. When will he get here?
Power standard time is always 15 minutes later, so,
Power standard time is, if he says just a little bit,
it'll be half
probably
hour.
About a half hour.
Yeah, yeah.
If he tells you a half hour, you're looking at 2 hours. If he tells you in a little while, you are in trouble because you
next
don't know
business day.
You don't know if that's 2 hours, if that's 4 hours, or he just might have not been listening to you and just was trying to get you off his back.
Exactly. Just go away. Just go do something.
Okay, Joe, we skipped over you, though. Morning or night?
It depends, like you said. If I have something going on that's like very physical in the morning, not going to take a shower, just get to that because I'm going to,
If you're working with your pops or whatever. Yeah. Yep.
Exactly. When I was working doing masonry stuff, it was nighttime showers because I'd get home and my face would be covered in concrete and
But do you ever, you don't need to take the shower to get up in the morning? Neither of you guys know. You guys will get up and feel fresh and chipper.
I have to.
All right.
Nope, I smell my coffee and I'm like, I'm ready.
Pour the coffee over here. There you go. That can be nice and warm.
All right, kind of moving on from that one, Liz. You got a topic or you want this guy to go?
Oh, here we go.
You can go first if you'd like.
It's up to you. I don't know if mine's a good one or not. Is yours a good one?
Mine's a good one.
All right, we can wait on yours.
Mine tell a lot about your personality.
Mine is something different here, and I don't know, and I will kind of answer it before I even say the question. Mine is like Christmas time, sitting at home with all of my family there. What is the opposite of your worst fear? You know, I always think like my worst fear is kind of being like buried alive or something like that. But without, you know, and I feel like it'd be easy to Google opposite of fear. It's something would come up. But the opposite of your worst fear, is it that your greatest joy? Is it your most accomplished moment? It could mean something different to somebody else. And so I think opposite of worst fear, what makes me the most comfortable? And I think that would be being around my, you know, my two siblings, my mom, dad, you know, and the rest of the family. I think that is the opposite of my worst fear. Again, like I said, really kind of strange. And these guys, I wish I had a picture because they are all staring off into space right now trying to.
Your brains are moving here, yeah, man.
So, but do you see what I mean? Like, I want your own picture definition of it, not what you would Google, you know, oh, it's your happiest moment. You know, like, what is it? When I say the opposite of your worst fear, what pops into your mind, Sean?
Oh, man, used to be playing golf.
All right.
I mean, it's weird, but you know,
no. Like I said, I think that's a good answer because you're out there.
It's a safe haven. It's, you know, it's peaceful. Open. It's peaceful. And, you know, if you get ticked at somebody, you can whack them with a golf ball. I mean, you know, it covers all the bases there. But, you know, golf used to be, that used to be it for me. But I'd say now would probably be just being around my family, my wife and kids. I mean, it's all about relationships with me now at this point in my life. You know, it's about building, cementing, and maybe making amends with people who I've lost contact with or people who I've had falling outs with. You know, you get to 50 years of age, and it's like, you go, oh my gosh, the past 30 years, you guys don't know this yet, but the past 30 years, it flew like a shoo, you know. But you guys are going to notice it. There's going to come a day that you guys are going to all notice this, and you're going to be looking back, and you're going to be going, oh my God, what is the most important thing to me? I called it my midlife crisis, you know, that I went through. And when I went through that, I was like, man, it's people. You know, it's relationships. That's the stuff you take with you when you die anyway. You can't take the cars. You can't take the house. You can't take, you know, the physical stuff with you. So that would be it for me. It's just my family and people.
Joe?
You know, redoing relationships.
Like I said, take it whatever take it in whatever direction you want to take it. Though,
I'm just thinking of like happy place. Because you think, when I think of like my worst fear, it's being up on like a unstable, really high thing, you know, up in the air that's
changing the light of the radio tower.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be my worst fear. The exact opposite of that would be being in, and I was going to say cold water lake, but then I was like, you know what? Any like water with friends, enjoying a summer day.
Because right. That's on a boat, on the beach, at the water, exactly. with a group of friends.
Yeah.
All right.
With friends, just enjoying nature. Doesn't have to be on the beach, but if you're outside.
Nice weather,
exactly.
Friends, barbecue, that type of
when
environment.
Literally, you have no worries going through your head, and you know sometimes you're doing other things where those things just creep in, and you're thinking about those, like, oh, and it's in the back of your head. You know?
And if you're going on the water, Liz won't be there, unfortunately.
I will be there. I just will not jump
in
the water.
She will not touch the water with a toe.
I would do that, but, oh, man.
What about you, Liz?
I would say I actually really like having people at my house. I like being a host, so I would say like having friends over, like watching documentaries, listening to podcasts, like being around like-minded people and just doing stuff like that. That makes me like really happy, very content. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad you guys all kind of went with Mullet. Cause I said, I didn't know where it was going to go or even how I kind of thought of this, but it was just, you know, people always talk about their worst fear. We never talk about, hey, what's the complete opposite of your worst fear? You know, something kind of positive. And so kind of seems like, I think Sean kind of hit it. It's all about relationships and being with people you care about and people that care about you. I think, you know, kind of hits home there. All right, Liz, you're up last.
All right.
All right, here we go. Ready for it.
How would you survive a horror movie?
How?
How?
Easily.
Hide under the bed. How? How would you hide? Holy crap. Where would you go?
Not like hide. I mean, if hiding's your strategy, then like,
well, getting
whatever.
Out of there, getting away from.
But how would you survive? Like,
I'm
a
not
horror.
Serious.
You can pick, like, to make it easier, we could pick one general movie.
Well,
oh.
I think I can answer this by, I think I got a good, I want to be the character that's too dumb to die. He's the guy that, like, he ends up handing a, you know, I'm going to, you know, point, this is the guy in this, he's the guy that hands the guy with the scream mask a beer at the party because he just doesn't care.
He's so unaware.
There's no point in killing him. And at the end of the movie, you kind of wonder, how in the heck is he the last guy left getting the girl? But it's because he
Chris
was
has it. Chris has it.
That would be Chris, too. Yep. Let's go. You want to make a short film?
I'm just thinking Scary Movie 1 right now. You know, you might know who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, like that. So I think
that's a good answer. I don't think I can top that.
I feel like that's a good answer. I think that's kind of what you're going for, right? What character are you in the movie? Not necessarily of, I'm going to run for my life. I'm going to run him over.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab a gun and shoot him. I'm that idiot that's too dumb to die in the movie. That's Spock. That's who I'd be.
I'd say that fits you so well, yeah, too.
Thanks, Liz.
It does. That wasn't sarcasm.
I know.
Not that you're dumb. That's a compliment, man. I'm so sorry.
She just realized she called me dumb like 2 seconds later. I opened the door. You slammed it.
He was a dumb character, so...
Well, I said I'd play the
dumb. You play the dumb character,
but
yes.
Would I really be playing? Yeah. Joe, go ahead, man.
Okay, going along with that, I want to say I'd be the character that wouldn't even be in the movie because he'd be so long gone. The second that the murder or whatever happens, like, you don't even see him. You don't know about him because he's gone. He's
packed up and gone.
Yeah.
Out the door.
He's safe.
You were the secondary character that was pooped his pants so bad.
Radio edit.
You're gonna be the character that pooed in his pants so bad that you ran out. You're not there for any more scenes. You're done with the movie.
Yeah. Comedically, I want to say I'd just be faster than everybody, and if I'm not, I'd trip them, but...
All right.
Or... That's all you got to do.
Bite them.
I feel like that's a little bit of a cop-out answer, though, don't you, Liz? Like, you know, you're an extra in the film here.
Dude, that's not a cop-out answer at all, man.
No, yeah, because you gotta... That is a cop-out. Thank you, Chris. You gotta be in the mood. You're either like, no, I'm that character that 100% dies, or you're like, I'm gonna survive this thing.
Okay.
I can use another dumb guy with me here. We can be dumb and dumber, man.
I'd be trying to trip you.
He just said it out loud. He's the character that would trip somebody else. Yeah.
That's messed up. I thought you guys were buddies.
So I'm too dumb to die, but Sean and him are running. You're going to trip Sean.
Yeah.
And he's
I'm not fast enough.
All right.
If I absolutely last resort.
Or he trips you, Chris, and then he's like, and then he falls into like the pit.
Yeah. Go on. I think it'd be kind of fun to try to outsmart him. You know, whoever's killing people or whatever in these horror
movies.
Well,
we know who's dying first.
Well, no, I mean, but sit back and listen. You know, I'd run with Joe at first and then, you know, maybe come back and go, all right, dude, let's challenge this, man. Let's see if I can outsmart you. Because killers have patterns. They do. When you think about it, especially mass murderers. There's a pattern to their method of their madness.
We're talking about a movie here.
Well, I'm talking about a movie as well. So, but it comes down to the whole just being able to outsmart them, and it can be done. You know, you just
are you talking about Home Alone?
That is a horror movie for a lot of people, man.
When that nail went through
his foot, do you guys
when I think of Mike Myers, Freddy Krueger, Jason. They don't really ever display any smart, Sean. It's just kind of them sauntering around. And, you know, so I think if you try and outsmart them, you're going to be the guy, I'm waiting in the woods. I'm going to get him. And then he's going to come up from behind and slice your head off.
Okay, so I'm also thinking of a horror movie like Ted Bundy movies. You know, the movies about Ted Bundy's life and stuff, too, because he had he's a serial killer. He has a pattern. So it's not just a horror movie. It's, you know, it could be real life stuff, too, right?
Help us out here, Liz.
Does it have to be a horror movie?
Yeah, it has to be a horror movie.
All right, so this is not a Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, no real life.
This is not like true life crime stuff. I've been watching a lot of that.
Look what happened there. The neighbor in that Jeffrey Dahmer documentary tried telling on him a number of times, and it did not work out.
No, okay.
So Sean's going to be smart.
But he's
Joe's
gonna
die. Outsmart Joe's him. Gonna trip me or Sean to get out of there. I'm gonna be too dumb to die.
Chris,
Liz, I feel like Liz is the one that's killing all of us in the horror movie.
Absolutely, that's what I was thinking too. Or if I'm not, I'm definitely joining their team. Like I'm Mrs. Scream. You know what I mean? Or
hey, do you need help killing people? I
got you. They trust me. Like
I know exactly what they're going to do.
That's how I'm going to survive.
You know, the anti-hero is so popular these days. You might be onto something there, Liz. You know, the person who joins up with the, you know, the serial killers, the horror people, or whatever. Maybe that's a little niche for you. But no, that's how you'd survive is by, you know, if you can't beat them, join them type of thing.
Absolutely. I'm not even going to try and beat them. I'm going to be like, what's up, guys? I'm here now.
I'm one of you. Dude, you see that look in her eye when she's looking at you, man? I don't know, Chris.
We now know.
Watch your back, bro.
Sean is now the second person to die because, Liz, you try and join them. I don't think that's going to work out very well.
I think it's going to work.
I don't know. It might not.
I think it's going to work.
What if it doesn't?
Because I'm determined to make it work.
She's going to take over. She's going to take over
films.
And kill them. And
Jason
like,
is determined to kill, you know. And so if you, I'm picturing, you know, hey, man, what's going on? He's not even going to speak to you. He's just going to
take the axe and go, woof, you're gone.
Or are you going to be like, hey, I'll tell you where they are. Just don't kill me. I feel like that's the only way you could get on is to like plead with them.
Yeah, obviously, Uber driver,
chauffeur.
Take me to cabin C, please, right now.
There's coke in the there's coke and water and chocolate back there.
I have snacks in my purse.
And there's one particular show that this is starting to make me think of, and this might turn into a Sean and I podcast, the Grim Reaper episode with Norm MacDonald and Family Guy.
Oh, my God, yeah,
where
Family Guy.
He hurts his ankle, and so Peter's got to take over as the Grim Reaper.
It's death. He's death. He's got to come to his house.
Couldn't help but think of that episode. But
that was Norm MacDonald voicing?
Yeah, that was Norm MacDonald's voice, yeah.
May he rest in peace.
He was, he had to sit on the couch for like a week because he broke his ankle coming in to try to kill Peter.
Peter had to take over. Then was it Peter knew he couldn't die or something like that?
Yeah, so Peter, yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was a good episode.
All right, last question here. Kind of keep going for a minute. Favorite TV show of all time? Mine's Seinfeld. Sean, yours has got to be Family Guy. If you try saying something different, I almost want to argue with you about your favorite show.
You can argue with me all you want, too, because Family Guy's up there. But no, number one would probably be All in the Family.
All in the Family?
Archie Bunker. Because back then in TV, you could get away with so much. I mean...
Yeah, I feel like that show doesn't hold up.
No, you can't run it nowadays, man, because it would be shut down in 13 seconds, really. Archie Bunker played a bigot, and, back then, they tackled all the racial and social injustice issues, and it was really well written. Some people got offended by it, like the Black Panthers got offended by it. They tried to shut it down, but they didn't, commit to anything violent or anything. But long story short, it would definitely be All in the Family because of the time and what they were trying to do. They were trying to bust through barriers and trying to get people to come together through humor.
Yeah, and
that's what they were trying to do.
And I think Seinfeld is my favorite. And throw Family Guy and The Simpsons. My recall with those three shows is eerie how I could. I'll just take it and make it to anything in life. I can do it with those three shows.
Yeah.
I think that's why those three are up there for
Where's
me.
It's my money.
Kind of always relate them to real life situations.
Until 5 o'clock.
And you got to know when to hold them.
And
Joe?
I've seen like so many different types of television. I loved that 70s show and so many different things, but if I have to put it on a favorite that I could just flip it on, doesn't matter how good of a day or how bad of a day I've had, Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
All right, I think that 70s show is one of those shows that nobody's ever going to call it their favorite. Nobody's probably ever going to put it in their top 10, but everybody likes it. It's a really good show.
Yeah, just one of those comfort shows.
Liz, favorite TV show of all time, and you were the one that when I said this, you were like, ooh.
The first one that comes to mind, and I'm trying to think of, because we all have comfort shows, right? But this is one of my comfort shows. But I also like never get bored in an episode. Schitt's Creek.
All right.
I told you to watch that.
You
were like,
the problem is
mainstream, and I understand that it's newer and it's mainstream.
I've had so many people tell me to watch it. I'm at the point that I'm like, nope. Not going to watch it out of spite because I'm an idiot.
I just love it so much. Eugene Levy's in it. He just got a Hollywood star, by the way. And he wrote it with his son, or it's his nephew. I can't
remember.
He also
has a show on Apple called The Reluctant Traveler, which is that's pretty good. It's him traveling to different places and really? just being himself.
It's
pretty
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate. I think it's very well written. And it's only like 20 minutes an episode, like 20, 22 minutes an episode. So
when your work mom and work dad and your real mom and real dad tell you to watch a TV show, you got to wait at least 2 years, right?
No,
you should go right away. That way, if you don't like it, then you move on. I love Johnny Rosso. He was a good character. That was a really good character for him to play.
And it's like, and it has such heartfelt messages to people in it. Oh my God, it's just amazing.
You saying that makes me need to shout out Ted Lasso. That's a show that it only had 3 seasons on Apple. I don't think I'll ever be able to call it one of my top shows because, you know, the top shows feel like go a little bit longer than that. But that's already become like a background TV show for me. Like when I get home, I can't find anything to watch. I got to do the dishes, clean up around the house, going to be playing with the dog. I will, you know, put that show on. It could just be on in the background. It just... Every episode at some point is going to make you smile. It sounds like that's kind of what you think with Schitt's Creek and everything like that. Yeah. All right. Anything else to add to this one, guys? You got anything else to bring up here? Anything?
I have one random thing. Did you see that they are remaking The Crow?
I don't even know what The Crow is.
No, what is that? No, I don't even know.
An old movie. You know,
I know the original.
Yeah.
So they're remaking that movie.
That was the original movie that, what's his name?
This isn't the one with all the birds, right? You know what I'm talking about? Is that movie just called Birds? Where
that Brandon Lee passed away on while shooting. It was kind of like the same type of thing with the Alec Baldwin situation on Rust. But Bill Skarsgård, the internet is like freaking out about this. I didn't know if you guys had seen this because you mentioned anti-hero earlier, and it brought this to my mind because The Crow is actually like a hero, but Skarsgård's playing him, and the internet is freaking out because. The way they're portraying it, people are like, no, he looks like a villain.
Oh, so they can't, so they're,
people,
okay. So
people are mad that the hero looks,
now.
Yeah.
Whatever. Top Dollar was great in that movie, by the way, The Crow. If that's the same movie, yeah.
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 Yeah. You kind of
no
got
idea.
Me. You got
Sorry.
Me.
No,
Liz and I are just kind of like, yeah.
These guys are like, you're like a lot younger. And so I'm like, yeah, I remember The Crow. I remember the original.
Well, that's another jukebox
94.
In that. 94. Yeah. No, you're good. 94. How old were you in 94, Liz? I was 9.
I didn't exist.
Oh,
I don't even think
Joe?
I was thought about. Zero,
yeah, negative. Negative 4.
Sean?
I was 20.
I was 20? Right,
well,
I'd
the old
been,
man over here with the walker.
I've been 9 years young. Gosh, what would I have been doing? I would have been dreaming about playing basketball and, you know, playing video games and stuff like that. What were you doing?
Being a typical kid. I was working.
You're working.
Working in radio.
Working in radio.
Boring, boring. But, you know, I was learning my ropes, so, yeah. And traveling.
Right. Another jukebox of nonsense, kind of in the books, a little bit shorter than some of our episodes. We, you know, a big thank you to all of you out there for tuning in, and a big thank you to you, Sean.
Yeah, big thank you to Liz for joining us.
And thank you, Joe.
And thank you, Chris.
We'll see you next time on the Jukebox of Nonsense, or hear you next time.
Thanks for checking out our Jukebox of Nonsense podcast, featuring Joe, Chris, Liz, and Sean. The views expressed by these clowns doesn't necessarily reflect those views and opinions of Platitude Media, My 104.3, Buck 92, or sponsors, responsible adults, dads of all kinds, politicians, music junkies, and anyone else we may have left off this list. Check out our website for even more podcasts from around the area. Just go to mymichiganpodcast.com. It's podcasting that matters.